Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Joined today by Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. It seems like only have you even been to work since the last time we talked?
Yes, I have, actually.
You have done a few things?
I have done a few things. I've been around.
He's tan. You've been going to tanning booths all the time.
Had a little vacation and was able to sit and enjoy the sunshine a little bit.
Person needs that from time to time, don't they?
Yes, sir.
And you have kids at an age where I'm surprised you got them all together.
Well, I think this summer and next summer will probably be the last that we are able to get.
Until they start bringing your grandchildren.
Exactly.
Now I'm making you feel old.
Oh, I don't even think about it. I hope I've got some time in between there.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Mike Everett, of course, Wayne County Sheriff, and back in the saddle after having a nice couple of weeks off. You know, it's amazing to me. I didn't realize that you were on vacation until Marty David told me last week. That the office, the department continues doing things while you're gone.
You know, I have said at numerous times, that office ran long before I came along.
Yeah.
And it will run long after I'm gone. So, you know, it's all about the people that you have in there. From Andy Milner, who I wouldn't be able to do it without him.
Yeah.
And then all the way down to office staff, to the deputies and COs. They know what to do. They do their jobs well. And it's nice to go and know that I don't have to worry about it.
Were they waiting on you to leave to make the gigantic bust?
Oh, I think they were. I told them that I could stay. I told them I would stay on vacation if they wanted me to. If they wanted to do more of that stuff while I was gone, that would be fine.
Well, let's talk about the dramatic heroin bust. Thankfully, not very dramatic.
Right. It was very uneventful, from what I understand and from the reports and everything. I was getting some play-by-play through Snapchat and things like that. My deputies, they were sending me pictures to Florida and let me know what was going on. So it was a great job, Chris.
What was the investigative process on finding the home and all that kind of thing? Whatever you can tell me about.
Just
it.
Developing information through contacts and sources, different things, whether it be word of mouth, whether it be confidential sources, things of that nature, and then them working on getting enough to go to the state's attorney and a judge with a search warrant request.
And this was in conjunction with the Wayne City police officer too?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. What was the time element, you think, between information and gathering?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of time from inception to going to the house. I'm not sure what the time frame was.
Tell me a little bit about the hall.
Wow.
All I know is what I saw in the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was plenty.
$5,000 plus worth of cash. I believe there was 15 guns, heroin capsules.
How much heroin was there?
100, I believe, of the heroin capsules, 150 or so prescription pills, and then just various paraphernalia and things like that.
So the heroin capsules came from somewhere else. Can a chemist... I mean, I guess my question is, you know, we've had methamphetamine in the area for 15, 20, 30 years, whatever.
Right.
Haven't seen a whole lot of heroin.
No.
And I think we've talked in the past few months that you're seeing more of it. Right?
Sure. You know, in talking to sheriffs surrounding us, especially ones in larger areas, metropolitan areas, it's an issue for them and has been for quite some time. And so a lot of the smaller departments, smaller, more rural counties like us, have started to see it seep in coming from those areas. As far as the capsules go, the best I can understand how they do it is just, you know, you can get the empty capsules and then just put the heroin in it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So how much is it? I guess my question, when I write my book, I'm wanting to know how to make it sound legitimate and real.
It's about a gram
per capsule.
Per capsule. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what are the legal. I guess not, any of it's illegal,
right?
But
right.
At what points do you go into like jail for 75 years versus jail for 50? I'm asking you the tough question.
There are different levels of it, and I'm not sure. It seems like over 30 grams is a benchmark, and then over 100 grams is a bit, or 100 grams and over is a benchmark, I believe. I'd have to look at it again.
And I guess my other question about it, I don't know how much is a dose. How much if you have this capsule that has however much in it, mm-hmm. were they one dose per capsule or more than that?
That's the way they explained it to me.
Really?
Yes.
See, now that's the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. Here you are a 40 plus year old man.
Yes.
Here I am, a 40 plus year old man. Relatively worldly.
Sure.
I like to think so. I'd like to think that you're relatively worldly. I have no idea how that's done.
No. Know?
And I guess that's a good thing.
It is. And I was talking to Chris about it yesterday afternoon, Chris Odie. And, you've got ingestion, injection, different, all kinds of different ways.
So these capsules, they weren't going to be breaking open the caps. I mean, you see it on TV where they get the little foil stuff,
mm-hmm.
and a little rock that they melt down, and that was not this case.
You could do it that you could break open the capsule, put it in a spoon.
It goes a little faster that way.
And inject it. You could, absolutely.
What are you finding? What are you or some of your other sheriff departments in the area finding more often, folks injecting or folks taking capsule form? Because I think it'd be tougher to accumulate the syringes.
I think with anything, whether it be heroin, methamphetamine, it seems to be a progression for someone who is using. You might start with the smoking.
Yeah.
Then you might move to ingestion. And what it is just they're trying to get it in faster, trying to get the drug in faster. So the one of the last resorts and one of the most, just in talking with people who've done it, one of the most polarizing things is when you actually go to the injection, when you start to shoot stuff up.
That's when you are junkie.
Right. That's not coming from law enforcement. That's not coming from anybody, but folks that
do it,
that have done it. You know, they've told me. You know, I hit rock bottom, or
yeah. That's the thing. You hear these stories probably
sure.
from these folks too, right?
Sure. And they'll tell you. You know, when you go to the injection, that's when you've kind of hit the
bottomed out.
Right. Right.
What's the kind of street value on this kind of thing? Any idea?
About $10 a capsule.
$10 a capsule.
Mm-hmm.
So
give or take,
and that's something that a pretty hardcore addict would need once a day, twice a day.
I at least once, I would think. Somebody who's, heroin is a pretty
heroin is a severe addiction.
Yes,
it's a quick addiction.
It grabs you and it holds on. I mean, it's a pretty serious addiction. So those, you're talking at least once a day, probably two or three times a day.
Learning about the heroin trade from Mike Everett. I got to tell you, you mentioned a few, like I said, a few months ago that it was common.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay attention to the arrests occasionally, and I hear it anyway. And,
sure.
And hadn't heard anything. It's here though, isn't it?
It is. And one of the main things, or one of the concerns that we have, is you don't know what you're getting. These folks that are buying this, what is it cut with? What, this guy from
dishwasher liquid or something.
Right. Rat poison or whatever they're cutting this with. And I just, the thing that I have seen or heard with other sheriffs is they've had some serious medical issues.
Yeah.
And or deaths involved with this, and that's one of the things that we really want to watch for here, and want to make sure that we can. I don't want to say stay on top of it, because I don't know that you ever win in this
right.
war,
right?
But to keep fighting it as best we can, because we don't want to see anything like that.
You know, the thing that you don't expect, but you gotta figure is around is all the efforts that the city police and the and you folks do with educating the community and educating students, you still see the occasional kid. It gets down to the kids' level, and
it
once
is.
In a while, doesn't it?
And one of the other things that we have seen going to that is the bath salts again. You know, really popping up because they're so easily accessible, and because with the laws the way they are, you know, it may take Illinois, and Illinois has been very aggressive in this, but it may take them 6 months to declare this particular chemical breakdown illegal.
Yeah.
So, okay, so then Illinois makes that illegal. Well, then the chemists, they change the chemical makeup. And they're selling it as something different. The one that
there's a new one out there, right?
There is.
What's it called? Fanner or something like that? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, the guys have told me and
I read it last week about the new one and like Fanex or something
you've
like
got,
that.
You know, they've got the alpha PVP and the you know all these different technical names, and one of them is marketed online as a research drug.
Really?
Well. You know, it's not illegal. You know, it's no different than some of the stuff that you see on late night TV as far as, you know, these things have not been approved by the FDA or whatever.
Right.
It's not illegal to have, but you don't know what it is. And these people are buying it and, you know, having it mailed in. And so it's an issue that we're going to have because that stuff you do not know where it was made. It may be
that's made
in some bathtub in China.
That's the craziest part to me, Sheriff, is that that folks will go to that level and mm-hmm. get something that they have no idea that put in your body and it can kill you. Anything. I guess it's the same thing taking a Diet Coke out of the machine, but you I kind of know where Diet Coke is and they've got a good reason to stay in business,
right?
And continue to keep the product pure. Mm-hmm. Although I do know Diet Coke is acid,
right?
Battery acid.
Yeah.
I like it. But it doesn't make me crazy.
No, and this stuff, it just.
I guess so they can't figure out a way in the states of Illinois or I mean every state who's having the problem to create a law where they don't have where it will maybe cover an entire set of.
It's hard.
Bath salt / crazy drugs.
You know, it's hard.
'Cause that's crazy. Those are crazy drugs.
It is, and it's worse. As far as our end of it and trying to keep a lid on it, it's harder for us to deal with than it is for us to deal with some of the more known illegal drugs, whether it be meth, heroin, marijuana, whatever.
How do you I tell you what, this is a good time to take a break. I'm talking with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We've been talking about the heroin bust and Supergirl. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words.
I was running through the summer rain, trying to catch the evening train and kill that old familiar pain, weaving through my tangled brain. But when I tipped my bottle back, I smacked into a cop I didn't see. That policeman said, Mr. Cool, if you ain't drunk, then you're a fool. I said, if that's against the law, tell me why I never saw a man locked in that jail of yours who wasn't just as low-down poor as me. Well, that was when someone turned out the lights, and I wound up in jail to spend the night and dream of all the whining, lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, I woke up next morning feeling like my head was gone and like my thick old tongue was licking something sick and wrong. And I told that man I'd sell my soul, something wet and cold is that old cell. That kindly jailer grinned at me, all eaten up with sympathy, then poured himself another beer and came and whispered in my ear, if booze was just a dime a bottle, boy, you couldn't even buy the smell. I said I knew there was something I liked about this town, But it takes more than that to bring me down, down, down. Cause there's still a lot of wine and lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined this morning by Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett, and we've been talking about the big Wayne City heroin bust. One of the things that that I didn't cover that I meant to ask you about, and we just talked a little bit about in a break, was the use of, we were talking about Chris Odie and the use of the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Did the dog just have a big party when he got there? I mean, that seems to me that you, if you are running a search warrant around a house that is apparently full of the things the dog is looking for, he's going to have a pretty good time.
Oh, it's overwhelming to them, you know, at something like that where there's that much smell probably.
Yeah.
It's just an overwhelming thing, and they're excited. They want to play. They want to do, you know, what it is that they do, and so... I guarantee you that Bolo had a big time that night.
Bolo is Chris's dog. How long's Chris been working Bolo now?
Let's see. It'll be 4 years in. 4 years in November, something like that.
Were you surprised? Last thing we haven't talked about the weapons on the radio here. Were you surprised at the stash of weapons?
You know,
do you find that often that much, or that
either they have a lot or they don't have any?
Really?
You know, it's they a lot of times will be collectors or whatever, whether it be for.
I mean, these were some pretty high. There was some high dollar weapons.
It was nice weapons. So I'm anxious to get a look at all of them. I haven't went up to the evidence to see what all they were up close and personal, but just glad, I guess, from our standpoint that, you know, it wasn't a case where somebody was using them for some sort of home protection or guarding, fortifying their home.
Which leads me to another thing, which leads me that whenever the police knocked on the door, mm-hmm. and he willingly submitted to the search warrant, because I mean, mm-hmm. it's search warrant, they're going to search,
right?
You got a warrant from a judge, and he willingly submitted to that. So he didn't have that stash of guns to go against the police.
It didn't appear as though
that stash of guns may have been to go against somebody else, which tells me there may be somebody else out there. You're always keeping your eye out. There may be somebody else out there with that, a peer
mm-hmm.
with that kind of a stash too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, competitor, supplier, right. Something like that. Yeah, absolutely. There's always that possibility. And the guys are always careful. We try and get as much intelligence as we can before going, as much information as we can possibly get to know, try and know whether there's guns, dogs, things like that.
And talking with Marty said here Monday that the officers made sure that the children were out of the house,
right.
and the wife, right?
Right.
That's, you know, safety first, amazing. It sounds like the operation went about as smooth as you could have ever hoped.
And that's one of the things that we always try to do. And sometimes, you know, things don't go as planned or it's not ever perfect.
Sure.
But you want to make sure that those bases are covered and that you have contingencies in case, you know, something else goes awry.
Yeah, that's something you don't, you got a plan for, but you hope never happens. Right,
exactly.
Talking with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett, one of his main jobs, of course, is keeping the jail. What's the population right now? How full are we?
21 or 22, I think, this morning. 21.
That's a pretty good number.
Yeah, it's not bad. We've kind of had a run again where it's been about three quarters full, and so just a lot of stuff going on, and guys making busts and warrants and such. So,
were we able to get the hires done? We had the testing.
Yes.
How'd the testing go?
The testing went well. We have two new correctional officers, Zach Masterson and Tyler Camp are our two.
Tyler Camp's a officer now, huh?
Tyler Camp is one of our correctional officers.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Tyler, Fairfield football player.
Yes.
Years ago.
Yep.
My little nephew's age.
Yeah. Yeah. So
went to school together.
They both.
Gosh, I hope he never has to work with Sam on in his position
as a
in a professional matter.
Those guys have been on for a couple of weeks now, and so they're getting trained up.
I was gonna say, where do they go for training? How's that work?
Well, we have up to a year to send them to the academy.
Uh-huh.
So what we do is we do a lot of in-house training, get them up to speed on what we do, how we do it, let them work a little bit, and then we'll send them to the academy as time allows. But we've been so short for so long with overtime the way it is, we're trying to get them up to speed so they can work and cover some shifts.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got probably folks who've been working there a while that have vacation coming up,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
And like I said, we've had just with people being gone, with Mark Noble retiring and then Cody Moore leaving us, we've had two open slots that we've had to fill every week. And so we're really wanting these guys to get up and running so we can get back to normal and not have a bunch of overtime every week.
Cody went up to – did he go up to Bridgeport, or did he go to the Big Muddy? I'm trying to remember.
I think he's in Lawrenceville.
He went up to Lawrenceville.
Yeah, he went up to Lawrenceville.
Okay.
Yep.
Boy, that, you know, that's the – whenever I had Darby Bailey in here a few weeks ago, that's the tricky part for you. You guys, you'll train somebody up, and then they go to the higher-paying job.
Yeah, and you don't begrudge a guy that.
No.
I've lost three now to the state, with Jonathan Haas, Jonah Consolving, and now Cody. Different
levels of state.
Yeah, different departments within the state, but all state jobs. And, you know, I told each one of them that they're better in themselves. They're better in their family situation with money and insurance and things. I can't begrudge. You hate to see good employees go, but I can't begrudge them wanting to better themselves.
You missed the you were out of town for the Sisney reunion.
I was
you
actually
back for that?
Yeah, I was actually up there. I was able to be up there Friday night for a while and got to, of course, eat a bunch. And
what was your favorite thing? I didn't make it up there. I feel bad. It was last weekend, right?
Well, I always eat at the fireman's thing, and I had fish that night, and it was good. It's hard to beat the Masonic pork chops over there. And I don't know who runs the booth, but I also had a corn dog that night. So, I would eat one thing on the way to the next booth, basically.
Well, you see, now that's the nice way to go, Mike.
Yeah, I'm just trying to spread the love a little bit. And, you know, we get a pork chop and eat it on the way to the corn dog stand, and get a corn dog and eat it on the way to the fish stand. And I don't know who ran the corn dog, but it was a pretty good corn dog. But those pork chops that the Masonic guys do are really good.
You look forward to those.
Yeah,
each
those
year.
Those are fantastic. Yeah.
What is do you always try to make sure that some officer is at one of these events, or how's that work?
Well, we try
if they're around, I guess, right?
We try to,
because you had Johnsonville days a few weeks
right,
ago.
I was gone during Johnsonville days. We try and help do the parade and different things up there. With Sisney being multiple days, we either have us or EMA or somebody. And a lot of times Sisney will have their own security that spends the night up there to make sure nobody messes with booths or anything. But we're never more than a phone call away if they need something. Of course, we've got Orchardville Day is coming up this week. And then, of course, then we've got
Frontier Days are coming up.
Yep, Frontier Days. You got Bean Days. And then Fall Fun Fest.
What are you going to do in a fun fest? You don't have to work that, though.
No, I just go up and eat. I go up for the food.
Well, there's always that. That's
yes.
That's a good thing. Back to your new corrections guys. Do you have didn't you have a deputy opening too?
No, we didn't have a deputy opening.
Oh,
just
okay.
We had a court security opening that Mark Noble had done for 7 or 8 years, I guess, and then we had the CO opening whenever Cody left.
So how many names were you able to get with the testing last month?
I think we ended up with two on the deputies list and six on the corrections list.
That's two different things, isn't it?
It is.
Two different levels of testing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Different written tests, different physical tests. All of that stuff is different.
How many do you like to keep on those lists? Because the guys you probably have on the list probably already have jobs somewhere anyway.
They do. Uh-huh. And it's
men
nice.
Men and women, I mean.
It's nice to have four on the CO list. That's a good, that seems to be more of a turnover than what the deputies do. I've only got two on the deputies list, and that will be fine because with the department that we have right now and the young guys that we have, I don't look for there to be any movement on the deputies' end in the next 2 years as long as that list is good.
We're going to say you typically plan to go 2 years between between testing. You didn't make it this year.
No, we had
I guess my question is they'll move back your next schedule on another year or so, I guess.
Right. We'll, it'll be 17, I guess, 2017, whenever we test again.
All right. Well, that's the thing we'll always keep we'll keep folks how many people showed up for the testing? Now, if you've had two deputies made it, how many did you have a test? And did you lose more in the physical or in the written?
We lost quite a few in the written.
Really?
There wasn't as many. We lost one, I believe, in the physical, or two. One or two in the physical, and then the rest, we had five, I believe, we lost on the written.
I got to ask. I mean, taking a test, either prepared or unprepared. I've done it both ways.
Right, right.
Occasionally, you get some silly answers. Have you ever had any answer in there that just... Somebody's just thrown their hands up in there and said, I'm not going to get this.
Well, the way the testing works, it's all like the achievement test that you had when you were a kid. So you're just coloring in circles.
Oh, okay.
So when they're graded, you've just got a template and you're going that way. So you don't really have any written answers per se. And I don't look at that stuff. We're usually in a time crunch when we're
usually just see who's qualified. You don't even care about the other ones.
Right, right.
Well, that makes sense. I'm talking with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett, and we're going to talk about a few other things going on with the Sheriff's Department and also back to school and that kind of stuff. Might even find out some good food recommendations when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show, coming up after these words.
Got a gun in my holster. Got a horse between my knees. And I'm gone to Arizona. Pardon me, boys, if you please. I have been a desperado, raped and pillaged across the plain. Now I'm gone to Arizona, just a rider in the rain. He's a rider in the rain. He's a rider in the rain. And I'm going to Arizona. He's a rider in the rain. Oh, my mother's in St. Louis, and my bride's in Tennessee.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined this morning by Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We've been talking a little bit about a few things, talked a little bit about the heroin bust over in Wayne City.
I don't want to interrupt, but I just got a text message.
Is it a bulletin?
It was a bulletin, okay. Yes. The basalt's called Flacca.
Flacca. I knew it was something like that.
Chris Odie is correcting us, making sure that we know what we're talking about on the air.
I got to tell you, we appreciate it. Because when I read about that bath, that it's a new basalt. It's
right.
Basically another... makes people crazier than the old basalt.
And he had told me that name. I know he's mentioned it, and... it's not that I don't pay attention to him at all, because I do, because he knows what he's talking
but
about.
But you depend on him. You delegate
It's what
delegate the knowledge to Chris.
What is it they say? You don't have to know everything.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to know people that do.
Know who to find.
That's right.
There you go.
So Flacca is what we're talking
about.
That's
why I remember that, because it reminded me of Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
The quarterback who's... Yeah. Pretty much the non-craziest quarterback you ever seen.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But this Flacca stuff. And yeah. I hope you're not seeing any of that, or hope Chris isn't seeing any of that.
I think that's kind of what we're running into some.
Oh, boy.
So,
you know, that And when you say bath salts, when we talk about bath salts, it's not really something you put in your bathtub, is it?
No. No, it is not the stuff like Epsom salts. It's not that kind of stuff.
Is that how it got the name? How did it get the name?
I don't know. Who knows? I wonder if
Chris
that's,
knows.
If that's
you say
probably
who knows,
Chris.
Chris knows.
Yeah, Chris, he'll text me and tell me how it started. But, no, I think the packaging and promoting it as bath salts or incense or whatever the case may be, you know, that's how – some of those packaging things got started because they were selling them as like the K2 or whatever.
Yeah.
It was being sold as incense. Well, it wasn't really incense.
No. That's illegal now, right?
It is.
The synthetic marijuana, at least in Illinois.
Yes.
Is it illegal most
federally?
Places?
Yes.
Oh, it is federally.
Yes. And that's the way the bath salts are. A lot of the laws are, the feds are very aggressive with these things, but then it takes a while to get down to the state level. And a lot of places are trying to maneuver to prosecute those in different areas as far as maybe federally instead of along state lines.
Yeah. That's well, you know, for these kind of drugs that are making people crazy, it just makes a lot of sense to make, hey, well, you know, well, make this illegal for folks because it's just a it's a crazy chemical.
Exactly. And, you know, you're seeing hospitals paying out. You're seeing, you know, officers being hurt or fought against and different things. So the taxpayers are paying for these drugs as far as paying for the consequences.
Right.
And of course, insurance companies and hospitals are you know, really getting.
They'd prefer to not pay those.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like I said, I'm talking with Sheriff Mike Everett, Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. Just got back from vacation and we could sit here and spend the next 15, 20 minutes talking about Bean Days or about Jeff Frontier Days, but I'm going to talk about that with other people soon. Where did you eat?
Okay.
Mike is my and that's the thing. Where you went on vacation, where'd you go again?
We went to we spent some time with my cousin and her family in Fort Walton Beach. They have a place down there, and so we were able to go there.
And then you went to also?
And then we also went to Gulf Shores for a couple of days with just my wife and kids and I.
If you're just tuning in to Mike Everett for the first time, he is an avid, don't want to call you a foodophile, gastronome.
Yes.
But he is basically, he is the restaurant maven.
I love food.
He loves good food. And you also, Mike, you like knowing what's good and what's not good, so you don't go back again to some place that didn't eat good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you have any bad meals down there?
No, not one. Not one meal was bad.
Because how do you take a recommendation and never hit a miss?
Well,
never hit a miss, or at least not this time.
You know, a lot of the folks that I talk to or whatever, you know, I trust their taste buds as well. But my cousin and her husband recommended a couple places there in Destin, local joints. The Crab Shack was.
When's the last time you got a bad recommendation from somebody? And did that? Did you take them out of your personal little mind file to never take a recommendation again? I mean, Andy Milner gives you recommendations all the time. He's got to miss once in a while, doesn't he?
He doesn't miss very often. He's kind of like me. He doesn't miss. We enjoy a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah,
but, like I said, the Crab Shack in Destin, there's a place.
All right, folks, Destin, Florida is the Crab Shack.
Yes.
It's not Joe's Crab Shack or anybody.
It's just not a chain. It's a local place. Dewey, Destin.
Do you try to concentrate on the non-chains?
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's and we try as a family even try to do stuff that you can't get anywhere here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go to Florida and
go to
eat
a Red Lobster.
Right, right. That's the boy.
That's not very adventurous. That's boring.
That's fast food seafood is what that is in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to go down somewhere near a beach,
spend the money to get there.
I want to eat real seafood.
Okay, the Crab Shack. What was the highlight of the Crab Shack?
Their redfish.
In Destin.
Yeah, their redfish was absolutely phenomenal. And I had it. And what else? They had a spinach artichoke dip with pita bread appetizer that was out of this world.
No kidding.
Red peppers, artichoke, and spinach.
See, now that's the thing. We have people here, listeners. There's a lot of listeners who go to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And Destin, they might want to try the Crab Shack sometime.
I would highly recommend the Crab Shack.
How about down in Fort Walton Beach? You were down there.
Fort Walton Beach, we ate at Actually, the Crab Shack would be more Fort Walton Beach, and in Destin would be Dewey Destin's.
What is Dewey Destin's?
Dewey Destin's is a little shack on the bay there in Destin. You kind of have to know where you're going. They've got a nice restaurant that's air-conditioned and all this stuff, but then they have one that's down that's a quarter of a mile away that's like it's kind of like Elizabethtown's Fish Market.
Or remember Grayville?
Yeah, yeah. Like Hard Times Fish Market in Grayville. Yeah, you're going to fight the flies. It's not air-conditioned. But it's almost as if they're bringing the seafood right out of that bay onto your plate. It was really good.
Really Dewey's good. Destin.
Dewey Destin's.
Dewey Destin's.
Yep.
I'm going to keep following this line until you give me the famous person.
I'm sorry. We ate at a place. There are two locations now. They just built one in Destin called Lulu's. Jimmy Buffett's
Where's
sister.
Where's the original?
The original is in Gulf Shores.
Oh, I see.
And we kind of steered away from it when we had been to Gulf Shores a few years ago because it looked very touristy, and I thought this won't be.
Yeah, this looks like Cheeseburger in Paradise. If I want to eat at a Cheeseburger in Paradise, I can go to Evansville.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought because there was a playground next to it and this and that. But we were kind of talked into going to the one in Destin. Really good food. They had a gumbo, a seafood gumbo that was really good. The cheeseburgers were fantastic. So I would recommend Lulu's. It was a neat atmosphere.
Tell me about the atmosphere there. That was the one that was outside.
Right. It's open air. It's right next to a waterway, so a lot of boats would come right up there to dock.
Really?
Yeah. And It was a neat place.
Could you sit there facing the? You're on the Gulf. There during watch the sunset.
Sunset over the water. Yeah, it was very nice.
That's interesting.
The big surprise for me for the trip was there because I just didn't expect it to be as good as it was.
You're kind of being pulled along to go to that place.
Yes, and it looked like a place that you would take the kids because there was live bands. And,
can you take the kids there?
Oh, sure you can. Yeah. There's a gift shop. It's kind of a tropical Cracker Barrel when it comes to that. You've got the little gift shop that has
they don't come around with the big bus boxes to your table and start bussing you like a Cracker Barrel.
No.
I haven't been back to a Cracker Barrel in probably 8 years.
I just won't go.
I won't go.
I won't either.
I refuse.
I used to love the place, and I just won't hardly do it anymore.
I can't do it because of the noise.
I'll go to IHOP or something instead.
Yeah. Bob Evans.
Yeah, there you go.
or find a local place that'll be around. Where else, any place else that you saw on the trip that you want to bring up that you mentioned?
Well, one place that, for those listeners out there that may be going to Gulf Shores, and if you're a Gulf Shores person, you probably know about it anyway.
Yeah.
It's just a little place called S&S Seafood Market.
S&S Seafood Market.
And you walk in, it's like a deli. There's no place to sit, but it's the counters, the refrigerated counters that have all the fresh shrimp and fish in there.
Uh-huh.
You go in, they've got a menu. You can pick out platters or individual things or pounds of shrimp. They'll fry it, steam it, whatever.
Whatever you want while you're there.
While you're there, and they'll tell you, okay, be back in 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Go back, pick your stuff up. Take it back to your condo, and you can eat it at the condo that evening. Very reasonable.
Oh, that's handy.
And it's probably the best fried shrimp I've ever had.
No kidding.
It's absolutely phenomenal. And you can get Royal Reds down there steamed. You can get jumbo fried shrimp for, I think it's $11.99 or $12.99 a pound.
Really?
Huge shrimp. And it's worth going to. We just stumbled upon it a few years ago. And we just really like that area and that place.
You want to take a call? It might be somebody
adding a place.
It's up to you if you want to take
a call. It doesn't matter.
Do you want to?
If it's about food, sure. Why not?
Well, we'll see what it is. Good morning. You're on the radio with Sheriff Mike Everett.
I'm a nervous wreck.
You are? How come?
Well, not only that, I get to talk to the famous Bruce Dickey, but then
it's the Chancellor.
The High Sheriff.
It's the ex-Chancellor. It's Galen Dunn.
Hey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, I want to tell you something. You missed another good place.
Okay.
Shores.
Where'd he miss?
That would be called Cobalt.
Cobalt.
What's good about Cobalt, Galen?
It's the atmosphere is great. You're overlooking the bay. You can watch the sunset, but also a great seafood. And it's right at the bottom of the great big bridge by Orange Beach.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You can't hardly see it until you get over the bridge, and it's down there to your left as you're headed east on that road. Next time you're Gulf Shore, you should go there.
Well, that's a great recommendation.
That's good. I've had the steamer, the shrimp basket, you name it. I've eaten at it down there at Gulf Shores, it seems like, but that's one I haven't been told about.
And then if you want to get the seafood yourself and bring it home with you, go to Billy's Seafood.
Billy's Seafood. Okay, that's that's north from the...
On 92, is that what that is?
That
takes you back up to 65.
59, isn't it? Maybe?
Oh, yeah, 59, you're right.
Yeah.
It's all for 59.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's 95 backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked at that place and I saw that, and it says, you know, we pack for travel and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Go there.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, you'll get that and bring it home with you.
That sounds good.
Galen, thanks very much for calling.
You got my son tomorrow. Be good to him.
I'll try to be nice.
See you, Galen.
Bye. Thanks, Mike.
See, there you go. You've got more places to
go
now.
Places to go.
Isn't that good?
I love it.
See, now you've got something to look forward to, your next vacation.
That's right. Next time.
When are you heading back down there?
Oh, I don't know.
Not soon enough, huh?
No, not near soon enough.
Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Bruce.
Appreciate that. That was Sheriff Mike Everett. This is the Bruce Dickey Show. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow.